I wonder if we could have my first slide up, please, Matt. Okay, that's our title. And the next one, please. Joy, that's what we're thinking about. I'm very conscious when we're talking about joy in a service that actually it may be you're not in a very joyful place at the moment. And can I just say I understand, and please bear with us. And hopefully what we're talking about and thinking about and just being here together in God's presence is actually something that is joyful in itself. Okay, he's a handful, isn't he, Josie? So, right, let's, if you can click once, please, Matt. Oh, no, go back. Have I lost the animations on it? Ah, we probably won't get the animations on it. I was thinking of the definition of joy, and I looked them up in the dictionary, and I came up with a number of things. And one was a feeling of great happiness. Another was to experience great pleasure or delight. And the third one, and this has got some big words in it, was an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Oh, there you go. I'm not sure you can read them, actually, so I'm not sure it's worth waiting for. I wonder what makes you happy, what gives you joy, what's the things that really you go, what are the things that I'm going to whiz round and see. I'm interested in what makes you happy today, what makes you joyful. Come on, Pete.
Worcester Warriors winning the rugby.
Worcester Warriors winning the rugby. Were you watching it? You weren't there. No, but okay, is that a rare occasion?
Very rare.
Very rare, okay. What else makes people happy or joyful? Have we got any happy and joyful people in church this morning? Okay, what makes you happy?
Going on holiday.
Going on holiday, that's a good one. Yeah, are you going on holiday? Where are you going? Today.
Yeah. First we're going to my grandma and granddad's house, and then we're going to
Lake District. Going to the Lake District, that would be nice. Wet, but nice.
Bread.
Bread makes you happy. Food, okay. I can go with that, okay. Anybody else? What makes you happy? Go on then. Oh, I've got two here. Go on then.
Having friends over.
Having friends? That's a really good one. I like that one.
Going to the beach.
Going to the beach. Okay, that's a good one. Frank, what makes you happy?
Finishing a job that's been hanging around for a long time.
Finishing a job that's been hanging around for a long time. Yes, don't talk to Caroline about that. Because I would be in big trouble. Okay, Ben, what makes you happy?
Not getting homework all week.
Not getting homework all week because it's half term, yeah. Oh, Charlie, come on.
Playing with my dad.
Playing with your dad, oh. Have you slipped in the fiver for that? Yeah. Anyone else? What makes you happy or joyful?
Vinny. Knowing God loves me.
Knowing God loves you. That's a good point, which we'll stop. Thank you for that. Okay. I was thinking of the kind of things that make us happy in this world. And I think one of them is when we celebrate, we've got something, to, whether it's birthdays, anniversaries. We've just been hearing about a birthday, what, 4 days ago, I think. Oh, yeah, brilliant. Any reason for a party, and I think we get joyful and happy about it. And maybe an unexpected surprise, like getting a raise in pay or a promotion. So I think when celebrations make us happy, I think the idea of family, and we picked up that on one or two of the comments, that makes us happy, the prospect of being with our family, a reunion of family, as family gets grown up and leave, and when they come back for special occasions. Maybe it's because we've achieved something that really makes us happy. Maybe it's that job that's been hanging around for a long time, and we've finally done it, yes! Or perhaps in my case, Caroline would be the one going, yes, rather than me. But maybe that's sort of having achieved something. I think just enjoying life when it's a nice day and the sun is actually shining out there, being able to go somewhere really nice where there's a brilliant view, actually that can give us a huge sense of happiness and joy and well-being. And I think also sometimes actually interacting with others and helping other people is something that can make us happy. Those are all things in terms of our sort of world and our lives that make us happy and can make us joyful. I wondered what joy in the church, and when we put God into the mix, actually, what does that mean? And joy in the Bible is defined as inner happiness which is not dependent on outward circumstances. I'll say that again. Inner happiness which is not dependent on outward circumstances. And the word used in the Old Testament means gladness of heart, and that's what David would have been experiencing as he danced before the Ark of the Covenant. And the word in the New Testament means inner delight. Because the world's definition of joy or happiness is based on things that happen and is something that doesn't last, is transitory and goes away, and we need that new fix of happiness, that new celebration, or that opportunity to meet with family again, or that achievement. For Christians, a definition of joy is actually rooted in what has happened and what is going to happen. So it's not about the present, it's about what has happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future. The King David, his joy came from what he knew about God and from what God had done for him over the years. And in the psalm Caroline read to us, David tells us of some of the things that God had done that made him want to shout and dance. And he tells us that God has made us and we are his. He considers us his people, and he cares for us like a shepherd caring for his sheep. He's good, and his love goes on, and it doesn't run out. And God can be counted on today and tomorrow and for all the days of our lives and beyond. So those are the things that got David excited, that made him want to shout and dance and sing about the God he believed in and followed. And all of that's true for us, but actually, because we live in a time after Jesus has come, we can add even more things to that list of things. We know that God loves each of us so much that he sent his son to die for us on the cross. We know that we're forgiven. We know that we can have or have a close personal relationship with Jesus, and that we've got a heavenly Father who thinks that we are special. We know that God's Spirit lives inside us, helping us to be more like the people he wants us to be, and helping to show his fruit in our lives, one of those fruit being joy. And we know that one day we'll be with our Heavenly Father in heaven. So if that's sort of joy and Christian joy, what does that mean in our lives, and particularly in our worship? Because we're in a series where we're looking at worship and thinking about that in the life of our church. And as I was preparing, I came across this story. It was, I'm going to get accompaniment. It's of a little boy sitting in church who saw a large flag bearing a number of gold stars. Turning to his father, he whispered, "Daddy, why does that flag have all those stars on it?" His dad replied, "To remind us of those who've died in the service." A puzzled look came over the boy's face, and after thinking for a few moments, he asked, "Daddy, did they die in the morning or evening service?" Now, I hope our morning and evening services bear no resemblance to the services this young boy was obviously thinking about. Preparing today and thinking about joy, and particularly joy in relation to worship, made me think about actually when we come to our gatherings together, to our services, how do we come? In what mindset and what's our approach to our services? Do we come with a joyful mindset, determined to experience God's joy and to live that out? And it made me think that our worship together should be a time of joyous celebration. There should be an intensity to what we do. We were talking in our small group this week, and I think I've got it right, but one of the members of our small group said that when we come to church, it's like we're coming in to have an audience with royalty. That's the kind of attitude we should approach coming to meet together on a Sunday morning. I found that really helpful, because it can be all too easy to be a bit apathetic. Well, it's what I do on a Sunday morning, isn't it? You know, I get up and I get to the 9:15 at about 9:20, and I spend time there with my friends and we have a coffee afterwards. And we sing a bit and somebody talks. I find it really helpful that we have different people leading and speaking, as it's actually difficult then for me to think it's just the same old, same old. And it means there's a variety to our worship that can often mean a different way of looking at things and insights that I wouldn't have had myself. I really value that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a bit excited at times. And after all, probably yesterday, I would imagine on the terraces at St Mary's, when that goal was scored against West Bromwich Albion, there was an eruption of joy and delight that Southampton has scored a goal and we're going to get 3 points. Why is it that actually it's okay to be like that on the terraces in the seats at St Mary's, and yet sometimes we find it so hard to show similar emotions when actually we're worshipping our God? That made me think. So our time together ought to be a real celebration, a joyous celebration. And the other thing that I was reminded of was that the focus should be on God and not on us. It's all too easy, and I know I'm guilty of this, of coming to church thinking about, what am I going to get out of the service? We sing songs that I like singing. Who's preaching? How long will they go on for? Will they say anything useful? Will I enjoy the service and be entertained? Now, that's not why we come to church. We should remember that when we come to worship, it's something we do to show God his worth to us. So we should be more concerned about what God thinks than what the rows around us think. David, as he danced before the Ark of the Covenant, as it was brought into Jerusalem, was accused of undignified behaviour in the way he was leaping and dancing around. And his answer to that was that he was doing it before the Lord and not before men. And his worship and his exuberance and his joy and delight was actually something he was doing for God. And he wasn't concerned about those around him. So joy in our lives and in our worship today, thinking about a time of joyous celebration when we gather together, and the focus on God and not on us. I've heard it said that Christians have a deep joy, but the problem is sometimes it's buried so deep that it's difficult to know it's there. I pray that this week we'll be the kind of people who have a deep joy that's founded in what God's done for us and how much he loves us. But it's a joy that will keep bubbling over into our lives and the lives of those around us. Amen.